What brings you here? You've come perhaps to be with others who care about what it means to live well on this beautiful blue-green planet that we share. You've come to be with your innermost self, to feel the deep wells within you brimming with courage and vision. You come to rest and be quiet, to be renewed by not having to be anyone other than who you are right now. Maybe you've come to cry out, to rattle the walls that contain all the prisoners of injustice and greed, and to help tear those walls down. Whatever brought you here, you are welcome. The world needs a few people who are honest, even to the point of accepting their imperfections. The world needs a few people who are brave enough to risk individual comfort for the sake of a larger love. The world needs a few people who honour their own suffering, as well as their ability to transform pain into compassion. The world needs a few people who are willing to step into the unknown, who are ready to truly come alive. So this morning, let us gather in peace and hope. Let us make room for the infinite possibilities of the Spirit. This time we share is precious, and it is good to be together again. Well, these opening words by my old mate Bob Janis welcome all who have gathered this morning for our Sunday service. Welcome to those of you here in the building in Kensington. Welcome to everyone joining us via Zoom from far and wide. For anyone who doesn't know me, my name is Jane Blackall and I'm Minister with Kensington Unitarians. The theme of this morning's service was chosen in connection with this being the last Sunday in LGBTQ plus History Month. It's a time for all of us to remember and celebrate the lives and achievements of our spiritual ancestors in the LGBTQ plus community, those trailblazers and pioneers, or to borrow a word that I first picked up from my friend and our church member Gaynor, queeros, short for queer heroes. So in that spirit, today's service is titled Learning from Lionel. We can spend the next hour reflecting on what we might learn from the wit, the wisdom, and the marvellously messy life of one of my all-time spiritual queeros, the Rabbi Lionel Blue. But let's do what we always do. Let's take our customary pause before we go any further. Let's check in with ourselves. How are you doing in this moment? It's a grey, cloudy morning somewhat outside, but what's your inner weather like today? Take a moment to tune into your feelings, and if you can, just observe them quite neutrally. If you've discovered any worry or agitation or preoccupation, maybe see if you can set that aside for now. Anything you really need to deal with will still be there in an hour's time. We make this hour sacred with our presence and intention. So let's do our best to truly be here now. And I'm going to light our chalice flame as we do each time we gather. It's a simple ritual that connects us in solidarity with Unitarians and Unitarian Universalists the world over. And it reminds us of the proudly progressive religious tradition of which this gathering is part. This community is a fellowship of the progressive path. Open-minded and open-hearted, at least that's our aspiration. This is a place to share insights and ideas, a place to foster faith and sometimes find joy. A place where we can be ourselves and let others do the same. A place where we can be real about our untidy lives and bring our confusion, our pain and our despair. This is a place for the whole of life's experience, as messy as that may be, a place for healing and solace, solidarity and hope, for encouragement and nurture, a place to face this life in all its complex shadings, together. Let us sing. Our first hymn this morning is number 196 in your purple books, We Sing the Faith. For those joining via Zoom, the words will be up on your screen. We are relatively few in the church, so give it the best you've got. Benj will help us. Stand or sit as you prefer, and let's sing. We Sing the Faith. So let's take all those joys and concerns, both spoken and unspoken, into an extended time of prayer now. This prayer is based on some words by John Saxon. You might want to adjust your position to get more comfortable, put down anything you don't need to be holding. Perhaps there's a posture that helps you to feel more prayerful. Whatever helps you to get into the right state of body and mind for us to pray together now, to be fully present in this sacred time and space we've co-created, present with ourselves, present with each other, and with that which is both within us and beyond us. Spirit of life, God of all love, in whom we live and move and have our being, we turn our attention to you, the light within and without, as we tune into the depths of this life and the greater wisdom to which and through which we are all intimately connected. Be with us now as we allow ourselves to drop into the silence and the stillness at the very centre of our being. Our words, our minds fail us when we ponder the enormity, diversity, complexity, and wonder of this world. And yet we sense that our lives are part of a larger life, that we are indeed connected with everyone and everything, one interdependent web of being. And there is something immanent, transcendent, that nurtures and sustains our lives and life itself. Something that calls us and all life to grow to greater wholeness and harmony. So this morning we give thanks for all the gifts and blessings of life, for this new day, for the beauty and the wonder and the mystery of creation, for our families and friends, for health and work, for opportunities to learn and grow, for the care and support of others in times of illness or despair. And we remember too this morning that others, our human kin, here in this gathering, across the nation and around the world, so many live in poverty and fear, illness and isolation, violence and insecurity. So many are ground down by systems of injustice and oppression, or caught up in chaos and confusion that is not of their own making. So in the silence of this gathering and the silence of our hearts, may we hear the call to a deeper resolve and a wider perspective. May we live with greater compassion and care for ourselves, for others, and for all creation. May we touch each other more deeply, hear each other more clearly, and see each other's joys and sorrows as our own. May we strive to be and become more than we are, more loving and forgiving, more kind and honest, more authentic and open, more connected, more whole. And even as we strive, may we also truly accept ourselves, just as we are, and know that we are enough. May we face all that comes our way with hope, faith, and courage, knowing that life is ultimately good and we are not alone. And in a few moments of shared stillness and silence now, let us each speak inwardly those deepest prayers of our hearts, the joys and sorrows we came in carrying in our own lives and the life of the wider world. Let us each lift up whatever is on our heart this day and ask for whatever it is that we most need. Spirit of life, God of all love, as this time of prayer draws to a close, we offer up our joys and our concerns, our hopes and our fears, our beauty and our brokenness. And we call on you for insight, healing and renewal. As we look forward now to the coming week, help us to live well each day and be our best selves, using our unique gifts in the service of love, justice and peace. Amen. Time to sing together again. This one, we sang it a few weeks ago for the first time. I'm repeating it in the hope we can learn it. We're going to sing the whole hymn through twice, because last time I thought we were just getting the tune and then it was over. I picked this one because I feel it is in tune with the spirit of Lionel Blue and his sort of tendency to openness and honesty about who he was and who other people were. Anyway, let's play it through once perhaps before we start and go for it. Call Me By My Name. The music is in the centre of your hymn sheet if you're in the building. The third verse goes on to the back page. If the words in the middle are too small for you to read, all the words are also on the front and they'll be up on screen. Right, that's all the housekeeping out of the way. Let us sing. Thank you. I confidently predict that will be an earworm for most of you during the week now, as it has been for me for the whole month. So, my hunch is that most of you will already be at least somewhat familiar with Rabbi Lionel Blue, but for those who are not, just a few introductory words about him at this point. He was perhaps the most well-known of the contributors to Radio 4's Thought for the Day slot, the three-minute pastoral reflection on the news from a faith perspective that is offered in the middle of the Today programme at 7:45 each weekday morning. Lionel Blue was a regular contributor to this for over 25 years, and he became very popular to the point where he ended up doing one-man theatre shows. He ended up doing one-man theatre shows, just talking about his life, taking questions from the audience, and famously hanging around in the foyer to chat with whoever wanted a chat until everyone had had enough and gone home. He carried on doing this until not that long before he died, which was 8 years ago now, back in 2016. I've got plenty more to say about him later, but I wanted to give you that much information before handing over to the man himself. I was delighted to find a collection of recordings of his old Thought for the Day reflections. They came out as an audiobook on cassette back in 1990, at which I'm slightly horrified to realise is 34 years ago. We're going to play in two of these short pieces back to back. The quality is not fantastic because it was off a cassette. There's a little bit of background hiss, but you should be able to hear him. It's about 5 minutes in total, two of his short reflections back to back. They give you a little bit of the flavour of what he was about. Thoroughly down to earth, honest about life's difficulties, deeply religious but also kind of irreverent. The only other thing I want to mention is that there are one or two old-fashioned references in this. He makes mention of listening to the BBC Light programme in his youth. That is roughly equivalent to somewhere between radios 1 and 2 now, a mixture of popular music and light entertainment. I think that's all you need to know. Enough from me. We'll hand over to Lionel.
You wake up on a Monday morning, switch on the radio and wonder what sort of world you're in. You've got your own personal problems, there's the tax form, falling through the letterbox, an awkward interview with your boss, and what's more, there's no Marge left in the fridge. You feel gruff and growly already. And when you turn on the radio, you shoot bolt upright and whimper because there's been yet another plane disaster, this time on the M1, which you've driven up and down so many times. Death is very, very close. You need a cup of tea fast. Some people say God is everywhere and in everything, so evil doesn't really exist. It's just goodness in disguise. We can't see it, that's all. I once tried to see the world that way, and it made me cross-eyed. Neither concentration camps nor plane disasters are good in disguise. Dead bodies, weeping relatives are never good. Some people take the opposite line and say if hell exists, then this is it. But that doesn't fit the facts either. I meet too much goodness and love in this world for that, too much charity, too much kindness. I think things go wrong when disasters happen, because the world is an incomplete sort of place. Like you and me, it's struggling towards its own perfection, but it hasn't got there. It's still going through its birth pangs. So what's our place in it? Well, I once sat in the church not far from a concentration camp and thought about all the tragedies that had happened there. Why, God, didn't you take a hand in it, I cried. Then I thought, how can God have hands? He's pure spirit. But if he hasn't got hands, is he any use? Then suddenly it hit me. We're God's hands in the world, and he works through us to complete his creation. So don't dive back under your duvet as you hear the news this morning. Religion means facing facts, not fleeing from them. Get up quickly, have your cup of tea, and work out what you can do. Can you comfort someone on the plane or give something to a disaster fund? It's a dreadful Monday morning, that's true. But that's why you're here. You might look and feel a mess, but you're God's representatives, his hands on earth, working to complete his creation. It's what you were created for. So come on, get up and get on with it. I bumped into him outside the psychiatric hospital. He looked lost, as patients do after their discharge. He could go home now, if he had one, which he hadn't, because his wife had had enough and left him. I pieced his story together while we waited. We were going the same way, So we stopped off at a cafe and celebrated his release with beans, bangers and doughnuts. But how was he going to get started in an empty flat when there was nothing to wake up for? Join the club, I said. Lots of people can't get started. Some can't fill in the form, some can't post a letter, some can't cope with the washing up and have to eat out. In my 20s, I couldn't get out of bed. I lay there listening to the letters sliding through the letterbox and the ringing phone. It wasn't laziness, but fear. They were demands which turned into threats as I delayed. Now comes Padre's pep talk on the power of prayer, he said caustically. He was entitled to his feelings. Prayer didn't save me, I said. It was the BBC light programme. If I turned it on when I woke up, my world wasn't so empty. If I managed to move my body to the rock and roll beat, it shifted my mood too. I used to hokey-cokey round the bedroom and shimmy and shake to the bathroom. Crikey, he said. And I admit, a semi-naked rabbi on a rug, cutting a rug, is not a pretty sight. But who cares if you're on your own? Give me some more tips, he said, beginning to enjoy himself. Well, I sang, not hymns, but rugger songs, advertising jingles, and Rosenkavalier, all parts. And if I could get down and dressed, I rewarded myself with a tin of cold custard. So God didn't come into it, he said sardonically, for like many people, he was a spiritual snob, who couldn't see God in ordinary things like cold custard, only in extraordinary, sensational ones. But religion doesn't need an hour in the month, so I told him the story of the rabbi who was marooned in a flood. First a helicopter hovered over him, but the rabbi gave no signal, for God would find him in his own time. Then a boat passed by, but the rabbi meditated on in silence. The flood waters rose ever higher, and then the rabbi prayed, I wait patiently for your salvation, Lord. How long? A cross voice came from heaven. I've already sent my salvation twice, you idiot, and you sent it back. Well, God redeemed me via the radio, the hokey-cokey and tins of cold custard. Have another doughnut. He laughed. Will God come to me too? But he already has, I said, and you haven't noticed it, just like the rabbi in the story. God has already used me to make you laugh again. He was puzzling over this theological conundrum when we parted. For the first time, he'd forgotten his sorrows.
I realise he was speaking quite fast too, but there is a transcript of this on the website, which you can have a look at afterwards if you missed any of it. Really lovely to hear his voice again. So we're going to move into a time of meditation now. And in this quiet time, I'm simply going to invite you to reflect on your own spiritual heroes, or indeed queeros. I've got the privilege and the platform to lift up Lionel Blue for a whole hour as someone whose life and example has been hugely significant and influential on me. But who's been important to you? We'll take that question into 3 minutes of silence, which will end with the sound of a bell. And then we're going to hear some meditation music from Benj and Andrew. So again, do what you need to do to get comfortable. You might want to have your feet flat on the floor to ground yourself. You might want to close your eyes. This suggestion is just an offering. You can use this time to meditate in your own way. So as we move into shared stillness, I invite you to call to mind your spiritual heroes, those people whose lives and example have inspired you, maybe even helped to shape your own life, who you are today. Who are those teachers and guides that you would want to honour and give thanks for? Rather than trying to give you a full account of Lionel Blue's biography myself, I thought I'd share a longish excerpt from an interview that he gave when he was 80. It gives a flavour of his story and what he was about. He was interviewed for The Guardian by Stephen Moss, and this is what he wrote. You probably won't find God in Rabbi Lionel Blue's semi-detached house in Finchley, North London. In fact, it's so cluttered, he's a trawler of junk shops. It's a miracle if you can find anything. But you might find Fred, one of the names that Blue gives to his highly informal deity. And you will certainly find Jim, his 84-year-old partner, who makes me a coffee and then tactfully absents himself while radio's favourite rabbi extemporises a 1.5-hour performance. I'm not sure I can quite call it an interview. Blue, despite being 80 and having been diagnosed with Parkinson's disease last year, still does one-man theatre shows, and I feel as if I'm sitting in the stalls. We're meeting to discuss his new book, The God Seeker's Guide, a sort of self-help manual for people searching for spiritual meaning. But since Blue's religion is rooted in his early years, he was an unhappy only child in a Jewish family in London's East End, who as a young man was tormented by his homosexuality. Inevitably, the conversation is more about his own life rather than the niceties of theology. He has no time for what he calls the stiffnesses and solemnities of organised religion, and the congregation he really cherishes is the one he's reached through Thought for the Day on Radio 4 for the past 30-odd years. It's a congregation of all faiths and none, he says, mainly none. Blue doesn't have any panaceas for his listeners. When I first became a rabbi, he says, I thought I knew the answer to everything. Someone will ask me a question, I'll look in my books, give them the answer, and that's that. But as you go on, you realise most of life's problems have no answer. A loves B, B loves C, C loves A, and you're piggy in the middle. Or the problems with your mortality, like the ones I've got now. There's nothing you can do about it. But you somehow deal with the problems without nightmares if you make it humorous. When he started doing Thought for the Day, his old teacher advised him to talk about the problems affecting Jewish people at that time. And had he done so, he probably still wouldn't be on air 30 years later. He says, I didn't think I could add that to all the other problems in people's lives while they were eating their cornflakes. So I thought, what can I give people? And I went, as I constantly do, back to my own experience. Dad was out of work. Ma was in hospital for a long time. I was brought up by my grandmother, who was an old Russian peasant woman, a very pious one. I remember that what kept us going at that time, in the era of the 1930s depression, was the humour. So I started telling jokes. He offers a bracing view of what God offers. Sometimes people write to me and say, Dear Rabbi, can you give me a prayer or a mantra or some object of piety which can take away my problem? The answer is I can't, because if I knew such a thing, I would use it for myself. I tell them, what you're asking from me is not religion, but magic. Religion turns problems inside out, and you see things in them that you never saw before. But that's a very difficult thing to tell people on the radio in the morning, that there are no answers. So what does he tell people who are seeking God? I tell them some of the things that helped me. There is no proof or disproof of God. It's not a theorem. But you can wander into any place of worship you like and just start chatting as honestly as you can with whatever's there and see what happens. He did exactly this at the age of 13 when he was a Marxist atheist who'd been compelled to go through with his bar mitzvah, marking his transition from boy to man. He raged against God for making him gay. He said he was already lusting after the school football captain and for doing nothing to help the Jews in Germany. He says, I sat back in a kind of fury, and what I got back in my mind was, well, Lionel, you've certainly become an adult, even if you haven't become a man. Something was communicating with me because I got these unexpected answers, and it was enough for me to be curious about what goes on. This private religion of mine did seem to tell me how to go on ahead. I didn't exactly believe it, but I began to trust it. I suddenly started becoming a lighter, happier person. I became quite souffle-ish. Lou thought about becoming a monk as a young man before reverting back to Judaism and starting to train as a rabbi in London. But in his mid-20s, he had another crisis and went off to Amsterdam to experience all the sex that he'd been dreaming of, spending 3 months in cafes and gay saunas. He says, it was 1955 and Amsterdam was the Greenwich Village of Europe. He recalls, I don't think I saw daylight while I was there. I said yes to everything and I met some extraordinary people. I thought I'd dumped all this God business. But I remember sitting in a gay sauna in Amsterdam thinking, what are the 10 commandments of gay life in this situation? He enumerates them for me, and they're all about treating your partners well. He said, still thinking as a minister. The religion had stuck to me. I saw both hell and heaven in those cafes and saunas. His old rabbi came to see him in Amsterdam and asked him to come back to the seminary. And Lionel Blue said, no, I can't. I'm going to show you how I'm living. I showed him all around Amsterdam at night, and we went and had coffee at 4 o'clock in the morning in a cafe, and he started crying. I thought, oh my God, I shouldn't have done this to him. And then I saw that the tears weren't of anger, but of merriment. He said he hadn't seen anything like it since the Weimar Republic, and the sooner I got back to seminary in London, the better. I can only have one of you, Lionel, he said, but one of you I'd better have. And he also told me that the art of civilized life was having your cake and eating it, but being a bit careful about it too. And thus, a sweet-toothed radio rabbi with a healthy commitment to sex was born. Blue came out quite modestly in the 1960s and was the first British rabbi to do so. He was accepted by the Jewish religious authorities in the Reformed tradition, but given quite low-key rabbinical roles. And he probably wouldn't have been heard of again had radio not discovered him. His quirkiness and his humour carried him through. And the interviewer says, he doesn't strike me as souffle-ish exactly. He's been in therapy all his life, but he is content. His mother lived into her 90s, and he likes to quote one of her last utterances. Lionel, what you've done in life, you've done, and the rest is gravy. So I think by this point in the service, it's pretty clear that I love Lionel Blue. He's been such a hugely influential figure in my own journey. It's not so much his teachings. When I went looking for readings or thoughts for the day to share with you here, I couldn't quite find ones that hit the spot. I did enjoy his thoughts for the day, but what really fascinates and inspires me is the story of his life and the way he lived it. That's why I shared that long excerpt from the interview, to give you a sketch of who he was and why I love him so much. Though, I would really recommend you read his autobiography, Hitchhiking to Heaven, if you can get a copy. It's out of print now, but you can still get secondhand copies online. And I think we've got at least one copy downstairs in the church library. I was lucky enough to download the audiobook years ago. It was only released for a couple of years and you can't get it now, but to hear it in his own voice is really something. So this is just a mini reflection. I just wanted to take a few minutes to share a little of the wisdom I feel I've learned from Lionel down the years. Here are my top three takeaways of Lionel wisdom. First off, I've learned that it is important to be real, to be authentically yourself, even if the reality of your life is messy. And by all accounts, especially his own, Lionel Blue was a bit of a mess. Physically scruffy, personally chaotic. He had a lot of work on his own psychological troubles over many years. He endured a lot of turmoil and suffering, including a major breakdown in his youth. But my hunch is that this life experience and his willingness to be so very open about it was perhaps what made him such a relatable and compassionate voice for so many. He really embraced life's contradictions. He crossed boundaries all over the place, though always, I think, for the greater good. And he broke free of various constraints. And in doing so, he invited others to join him on the journey of liberation. Most obviously, he came out as gay in the 60s in a religious role when it was a very risky thing to do. The second thing I want to highlight is Lionel's relationship with God. It seems to me this was absolutely his compass, his reference point. And whenever life was tough, when he didn't know what to do, he would instinctively call out for help, even if he didn't know who he was calling to. And I think that's what enabled him to go against the grain and do things that were a bit countercultural, against the rules or the norms of his time. Lionel spoke of his first religious experience as falling in love with love. That was his primary understanding of the nature of God. And I think it led him to ask in every situation, what would love do? He would do his best to follow God's direction or love's direction, even when it was tough to do so. In the opening pages of his autobiography, he acknowledges the many names he uses for the divine: heaven, my soul, inner voice, whomsoever, whatsoever, he says a lot, JC, Fred, God, another dimension, old Smokey, Holy Spirit, he, she, it, and more. I have used so many because my beliefs have not stood still in the last half century, and nor have my needs, he says. They are all pointers in the same direction. And the third and final thing I think I learned from Lionel is a certain sort of religious pragmatism. On the front of today's order of service, I put a quote from another interview he did with The Independent back in 2004. I'm going to share just a slightly longer version of it now. This article was written by Paul Vallelli. He writes, "To judge from his massive Thought for the Day postbag, he says, most people come to religion out of need. There's some problem in their life. They're no fools. They know that a little prayer is not going to wash their problem away. But they want to know if religion can help them to understand it, to cope with it, live with it, be creative about it. By and large, they don't care about the provenance of the solution as long as it works." And the same could be said of Lionel Blue himself. As you enter his home in Finchley, by the front door, there is a mezuzah, a Jewish scroll symbolizing that God is in the house. Elsewhere, there is an Orthodox Christian icon from Bulgaria. A Hindu saint presides over the breakfast room. Elsewhere, the whole of the Quran is framed. But there are no might have beens among the items. He says, "I found at various times that all these have been helpful." Lionel took religious wisdom and comfort from wherever it could be found. He once wrote a book called My Affair with Christianity. And even when he was at seminary studying to become a rabbi, he went on holiday to a monastery and he was worried about his teachers finding out and disapproving. But when he owned up, his teachers told him, "Lionel, Judaism is your religious home, not your religious prison." I feel he really took that message to heart, and that phrase has really stuck with me too. It's also worth noting that he founded the Standing Conference of Jews, Christians and Muslims in Europe. And indeed, he has some real tales to tell in his autobiography about the slow work of creating the conditions for dialogue and building the relationships that might one day bring about peace. While I was researching this service, I came across one of his Thought for the Days from over 30 years ago, in which he speaks very movingly and quite bluntly about the long road to peace and justice in Palestine. I could go on and on about Lionel Blue, but that's all we've got time for today. After the service, I would be interested to hear about your spiritual heroes and queeros too, the ones that came to mind during the meditation. Perhaps we can have another congregational service before too long, where you tell us about some of those great souls. But just time for one last hymn. Our last hymn is number 125 in your purple books, "One More Step Along the World I Go." I chose this because when I went to see Lionel Blue speak on one of his theatre tours all those years ago, he got us all to sing this to close the night. So we can close our service in the same way. "One More Step Along the World I Go."
Thank you.
Just a few announcements then. Thank you to Ramona for tech hosting, for Sherry co-hosting at home, to Benj and Andrew for playing for us. Liz has already gone out to make the coffee, and thanks to Julia for welcoming. There's cake on offer after the service as usual this week. It is berry lime drizzle, despite Sainsbury's informing me that we have a national shortage of raspberries. If you're on Zoom, hang around for a chat with Sherry. I've got a second thing to point out to the people at home. We've recently started our Sunday Conversations group once a month after the service to explore the service theme. At the moment, that's in person only. We're thinking about trying to make it hybrid, but we'll only do it if there's actually demand for it. So if that is something you think you would come along to, please let Sherry, our co-host, know if you'd be interested in joining in with a hybrid conversation from 12:30 to 1:30 once a month. We think this would be a really good way to build connections between the online people and the in-person people, but just let us know if it's something you actually want to happen. We've got loads of other small group activities going on this week. A new thing is happening today in the building, a last minute addition to the programme. Hannah is going to offer community yoga after the service. Have a word with her if you want to know more. You need to fill in a form of health questionnaire if you're going to take part in that. If you can't stay today, or if you're at home today and you might come another time, still let me or Hannah know and we'll work out what demand is for that. She does also offer Zoom sessions, so if you're at home, have a look in the Friday email for details about those. Tonight we've got the Better World Book Club online. This month we're talking about Less is More by Jason Hickel. If you've left it a bit late to read that, our next session will be at the last Sunday of March, when we will be reading Laziness Does Not Exist by Devon Price. I've got a few copies of that to lend out. If you want to take part, let me know. Heart and Soul, our contemplative online spiritual gathering, is happening this Friday when the theme is art. Sign up for that if you want to join us. Community singing is back in person this Wednesday at 7. Do come along and support that if you want it to carry on happening. We want to keep the numbers up. And Sonia will be doing her NIA dance class Friday lunchtime. Finally, the mini retreat is taking place next weekend on the stories of our lives. We've got enough people to go ahead with both the online and in-person versions, but there's still time to sign up if you haven't already. That's Saturday from 2 to 5 online, or Sunday from 1 to 4 in person. 2 till 5 online and 1 till 4 in person. Next Sunday service will be on the subject of wild things to mark World Wildlife Day. So come back and join us again next Sunday at 11. All these activities are on the back of your order of service, or they're in the Friday email. The congregation very much has a life beyond Sunday morning, so do keep in touch, look out for each other, and nurture supportive connections as you can. Just time for our closing words and music then. For those who came before us, we offer gratitude and thanks. May their memories be a blessing. As we go forth from this time and space, may we be encouraged by their example, inspired by their courage and their wisdom. Let us honour them by doing the work of living boldly, loving mightily, and doing our bit in the place where we stand to help create heaven right here on earth. May it be so for the greater good of all. Amen.